Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from GuillotineLeagues.com, here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian. Co-hosts today are Scott Fish and Brian Johnson. Hope you had great holidays, respectively.
What's up, fellas?
I did. I just got back from my annual trip to the children's theater production of The Grinch. Do it every year.
It's great to have family tradition.
Since Ian
traditions.
Was like a little baby. Yeah, every year.
It. Does he love stay it. Evil this time?
Yeah. Nope.
I just want the remake one time where he's like, yeah, he's just going to be The Grinch forever.
Yeah, wouldn't that be good? Just one time out of all, you know, they're going to play it like 50 different times between now and Christmas. One time, it doesn't really work out for the. What's the little girl's name?
Cindy Lou Who?
Yeah, right. It does not work out for Cindy Lou Who. She gets eaten by the Grinch.
Oh, boy.
That took a dark twist.
It really did. This show will not take a dark. It's all positivity on this show. Well, at least until we get to Patriots Giants. Then it's not so much positivity, but we will break down all the games.
Or if we recap the games from Thanksgiving and Black Friday. Yeah.
Brutal. All of them, one-sided affairs.
The first one was all right. The Packers-Lions, right. Somewhat entertaining. Gave us points, at least.
We will break down all the games. We'll have three tough questions. We'll have nine players upon whom you can take a chance. And for one of the final weeks, premature speculation. Ooh. As well. Let's jump right into the matchup. Scott, You've got a particularly thorny one here with Jaguars-Texans.
Yeah.
A lot of players that are sort of in the middle on this one.
Yes, I have almost exclusively B's and C's in this matchup, except for C.J. Stroud's going to get an A.
Yeah, baby.
At this point. But yeah. Trevor Lawrence, I'm giving a C to. Texans have allowed the fifth highest pressure rate, which might force Trevor Lawrence to run around a little bit more like he did last week when he scored two rushing touchdowns. We urged you to start Lawrence last week. That was Matt's take a chance on me player, and he scored four touchdowns last week, by the way.
Nice job, Matt.
Yeah, nice peacock there. The Jags have allowed the Texans have allowed multiple scores in each of the last three, 265 plus yards in each. I think Trevor Lawrence can do okay here, but it's a week with a lot of quarterbacks available, so just a C grade there.
I'm not chasing last week's box score.
No.
We've all been battle scarred.
You don't think Trevor he's going to run for two touchdowns?
No. Not pass for two and run for no. I'm thinking 265 and one to two scores, which is low C level. Calvin Ridley, I got a B grade on. If Zay Jones plays, he's questionable. Matt Harmon was talking about this week how The charting on it is when Zay is out there, teams cannot man press on Calvin Ridley, so that's where his three big games have come. He's had three huge days with Zay Jones out there.
I think that is a statistical coincidence.
It might be, but if you think about it, Kirk is a slot guy, and their fourth guy is a gadgety Jamal Agnew. They don't really have a guy on the other side to take any coverage. So a B grade on Ridley if he goes, C grade if he doesn't go. Christian Kirk is going to get a C grade as well. The last four slot guys against the Texans, 8 for 72, 3 for 51, 8 for 117, and 6 for 76. Mm. And these are like Boyd, Dortch, Trey Palmer. Like, these are not like studs tearing them up. Christian Kirk can do well here. B grade on Evan Engram. 4-plus catches in every single game this year, which is crazy to me.
And how many touchdowns to show for
him? Yeah, that's the problem right there.
That'd be zero,
yes, exactly. He had 7 for 67 in the first game, but the Texans have been nice for tight ends, allowing the most receptions and fourth most yards. Travis Etienne is going to get a C grade here. A couple tougher days in a row for him against better run defenses, and last week we saw D'Ernest Johnson and Tank Bigsby each get 8 and 9 touches each. Not good, but that was 130 yards total. And if Etienne gets a little bit more work, we can count on 15 plus touches. He's going to get the volume C here, especially because he gets most of the pass game work. Over to the Texans side, CJ Stroud, I already talked about, got an A, is getting an A, but I mean, 387 yards and 3 touchdowns per game over the last 3.
That's crazy.
That's insane level of production.
I believe last weekend's 3 interception game for CJ Stroud was his first in his life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really doesn't actually surprise me that much. Jags allowing 12th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. It's a good spot for him in general. Over to the wide receivers, Tank Dell and Nico Collins are both getting B grades with Noah Brown on the bench. I'm going to give the slight edge to Dell if you have to choose between them for some reason. He gets the deeper plays when Nico's on the field with him. They're wide receiver 13 and wide receiver 16 on the season. Tank has scored 4 times in the last 3 games, but the big perimeter guy has scored in 4 straight on the Jags. That's kind of where the scorings go. And the Jags have actually allowed a wide receiver touchdown in every single game this season. I think he's the more likely one to score. 5th in yards after the catch is Nico Collins. B grades on both of them. No Brown is out, in case you didn't know. Dalton Schultz is going to get a C grade. He scored in 5 of his last 7.
Yeah.
He just keeps scoring. No Brown being out can only help that a little bit more. He did need to score last week, but Kittle went for 4 for 113 last week on this Jags team. They're allowing the 7th most yards to tight ends. It's a good spot. C grade for Dalton Schultz. And Damian Pierce does return. I'm not going to trust it.
At this point, we got to see it first.
We got to see it. Even though the coach said they're still going to split, I got to see it first. And he did practice in full. But Devin Singletary is going to get the C here. The Jags allow the most receptions, 4th most receiving yards to backs. That's not really either of their games. But if it's one of their games, it's probably more Devin Singletary's. And he's probably going to get a little bit more workload, probably 12 to 15 touch volume C there.
All right, let's go over to the Saints and Falcons interdivisional matchup that could have some playoff ramifications for one of these teams. Let's start on the Saints side, Brian.
Yeah, it shouldn't have playoff ramifications
really
for either.
Shouldn't.
The whole division needs to be nuked,
but it does. The
NFC South. But yeah, first meeting of the season for these division rivals. Both teams coming off their bye as well. But starting with the Saints and the running game, Alvin Kamara, just a C from him. Going back to last season, Kamara has not scored against the Falcons in 3 straight games, and he might have trouble ending that drought because the Falcons have surrendered 3 total touchdowns to running backs all season, 0 rushing, and 3 receiving. Of course, Kamara can catch the ball, so there's some hope, but overall it's a bad matchup on paper. Opposing running backs are averaging just 109 combo yards per game against Atlanta. Those aren't great numbers, but you're not going to sit Kamara in this one. Not going to sit Chris Olave either, but I'm close, but I'm going to give Olave a C. Total just 6 catches for 94 scoreless yards in 2 games against the Falcons last year, and it remains a tough matchup for him as well, especially with A.J. Terrell at corner for the Falcons. He'll probably be following Olave a lot. Terrell is one of the better corners in the league. The Falcons are allowing less than 11 catches and 130 yards per game to opposing wide receivers, but they have surrendered 11 touchdowns of the position, so Olave remains startable even in a tough matchup. But I do have Rashid Shaheed on the bench charge.
Oh,
I'm
I kind of like him this week.
I do as well. I just
like him.
Don't like this. If you're in a pinch, start Shaheed. He probably won't see a whole lot of A.J. Terrell. He feels like more of a DFS dart to me, not like a trustable option in a standard fantasy. Even with Michael Thomas on IR, there is a really intriguing rookie receiver for the Saints, so we'll talk about him a little later.
Yeah,
won't mention him now, but I got Shaheed on the bench, though, Charge. Charge gives him a C, though, I think. So
yeah, I do.
We'll leave it up to you out there to decide to start Shaheed or not.
You got to pick your spots, but...
Well, I picked mine. Okay. You pick yours, but fair enough. Over to the tight ends. Taysom Hill, yeah, tight end, I guess. It depends where you play. Most sites, he's a tight end. And Juwan Johnson, I'm giving both of them a C. We all know the story with Hill. He is a lotto ticket, but he's hit in each of his last three games against Atlanta. Passing touchdown, rushing touchdown, passing touchdown for Taysom Hill.
I know.
In his last three. So you never
talk
know what you're going to get.
All or nothing guy, you got to pick your spots.
Right.
And, you know, Taysom Hill's the definition of
that. And that, again, that's last three against the Falcons, not in general, but I don't know. You throw a dart every week with Taysom Hill. But Juwan Johnson, I like the matchup for him. The Falcons are allowing more than six catches and 60 yards per game to opposing tight ends that actually play tight ends. So a C for Johnson and a C for Derek Carr. Atlanta is allowing just over 215 passing yards per game, but they have surrendered 17 passing touchdowns. That's the third most among teams that have played 10 games. So a C for Derek Carr. Over to the Falcons side, we'll start with Bijan Robinson. He gets a C. Handled 22 carries in his last game played in Week 10, 75% of the snaps as well. Both season highs for Robinson, so hopefully that trend continues after the bye.
No. Arthur Smith lost that game. He's going to go back.
Probably.
He's mad about it.
Either way, a brutal matchup for the Falcons running backs. The Saints are allowing less than 4 yards per carry. They've allowed just four total touchdowns all season, zero receiving. Only two opposing backs have managed to crack 80 rushing yards against New Orleans. And since Week 3, no opposing back has cleared 25 receiving yards. So for those reasons, Tyler Allgeier is on the bench. Even if Arthur Smith reverts back to his same old shenanigans, he did look like a true backup in Week 10. And again, hopefully that trend continues for the Bijan managers. But a bad matchup for Bijan. C for him. Allgeier on the bench. C for Drake London. Had two decent games against New Orleans last year. Seven catches for 70 yards and five catches for 74. But that's likely his ceiling against standout corner Marshawn Lattimore and the Saints secondary allowing less than 12 catches and 140 yards per game to wide receivers. They've also surrendered just seven scores to wide receivers all year. So the softest of C's for Drake London, but a solid B for Kyle Pitts. I don't care. I know he doesn't play tight end technically, but the Saints have allowed at least one tight end touchdown.
When was the last time you were right? Time you were right on Kyle Pitts or on your grade for Kyle Pitts? Where he either hit your grade or
the last time. The last time I said start him, he scored a touchdown. and speaking of touchdowns, the Saints have allowed at least one tight end touchdown in five of their last seven games. Opposing tight ends are also averaging nearly five catches and 50 yards per game. So a C for Pitts.
Sounds like a Jonnu
Smith
game.
No, it's not a
Jonnu
Smith game. Well, again, whoever listeners out there, pick whatever side you want there. But I got a C on Pitts, Smith on the bench, and Desmond Ridder got his job back, but he's back on the bench.
Charge, I purposely give Brian the Falcons matchup.
Oh, I know you did.
I know you did. I think you do that on purpose every time you dole these out, no doubt about it.
At least Scott just sits there and laughs rather than Charge and Matt ganging up on me, but I can handle it. It's all good.
No. Listen, by now, listeners know to take anything you say about Kyle Pitts with a grain of salt,
we'll see.
Browns taking on Broncos. Let's start with Jerome Ford with a great, best matchup on paper of his season right here. Broncos allowing a league worst 182 total yards per game to opposing running backs. That's 40 more than the next worst defense. Holy cow. They also allow 1.3 touchdowns per game to opposing running backs. Third worst. So now Ford should be an A grade here, but last week Kareem Hunt got as many carries as Ford did, and so Ford only managed 2.6 yards per carry last week. So I'm hedging a little bit on Ford with a B grade here, but Kareem Hunt also C grade because of the extremely positive matchup. Ford should get more work, but Kareem Hunt absolutely startable here as well. The only two parts of the passing game you're going to start in this DTR-led passing offense, David Njoku. By the way, five drops for David Njoku in the past two games. It's been a disaster. But a staggering number of targets with DTR. Get this. David Njoku, the last 2 weeks, 24 targets.
Jeez.
Unbelievable. We see this all the time. Rookie quarterbacks love their tight ends. The Broncos allow the most yards per game, the fourth most receptions, and the fifth most touchdowns to tight ends. So David Njoku with a B grade. Amari Cooper comes in with a C grade. Tricky matchup, as he'll almost certainly see shadow coverage from excellent cornerback Patrick Surtain. And here's what opposing number ones have done to Denver lately. Jordan Addison, 44 scoreless yards. Stephon Diggs, 34 scoreless yards. Romeo Doubs, 30 scoreless yards. Over the past 5 weeks, Denver's allowing the fifth fewest wide receiver yards, the third fewest wide receiver touchdowns. Two of Cooper's three lowest yardage outputs of the season have come in DTR's two starts. I had a C grade on Cooper. I just talked myself out of it. I'm going bench grade on Amari Cooper. And then let's go over to the Denver side. Let's start with the running backs there. Devontae Williams. I see a lot of carries coming in this game. Browns are easier to run upon than throw. And mostly that's how Sean Payton's been winning games for this past month, has been by running Williams, who's had a ton of catches over Denver's four-game winning streak as well. He had 18 touches, 30 touches, 25 touches, just 13 last week, suggesting he's rusty and he's ready for another high-volume game. Cleveland allows the seventh most yards per carry, and the Browns do have the best run-stop-win rate, but through sheer volume, I think Williams remains bankable here, and he comes in with a B grade. I do like the volume.
In fairness to that 13, they were behind all game, and they were having P. Ryan in the pass game.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
So that might be why he had the 13.
Yeah,
Samaje P. Ryan, third among running backs in receiving yards. It is the truth. Yeah.
I would never have guessed that. That's amazing.
It's McCaffrey, Rashad White, and then Samaje P. Ryan.
Holy cow. You'd have given me, I don't know. 30 guesses. I don't think I'd have gotten to that conclusion.
Zero receiving touchdowns, but maybe 30 yards, yeah.
Let's talk about the passing game for the Broncos, and we'll wrap up this segment. Cortland Sutton, I love the touchdowns, and I'm not ruling one out here, but Cleveland is a very tough matchup. They've surrendered the fewest receptions, the third fewest yards to opposing wide receivers. Sutton will match up most often with Denzel Ward. Ward is allowing just three scores in his coverage, none in the last four games, and just a catch rate of just 51%. That's very low by cornerback standards. C grade for Cortland Sutton. Jerry Jeudy, I was ready to get put on the bench, but I think you can attack slot cornerback Greg Newsome a little bit. He allows a passer rating of 105, and he's been beaten for two scores in the last four games. Jeudy doesn't score very often, but if you're looking for five catches for 50 yards, Judy's your guy, and you can start him here with a C grade. Mm-hmm. And that really only leaves Russell Wilson to discuss here. Get this, guys. He's averaging 20 completions per game. That's it. They just aren't passing, and they don't need to. And Cleveland allows... How about this? You want a crazy stat, a Samaje Perine-level crazy stat?
Mm-hmm.
Browns allowing 14 completions per game. That's unbelievable.
That is crazy low.
I don't like the receiver matchups very much for Wilson, as I mentioned, and he's going to face tremendous pressure. Cleveland ranks fourth in pass rush win rate, and Cleveland allows the fewest passing yards, the fewest passing touchdowns, so Russ is on the bench. When we come back... Oh, nine players upon whom you can take a chance. We got four games already in the books. So these are going to be a little deeper dives than normal. That means a lot of these players are going to be available on your waiver wire. Find out who they are when we come back for the second segment of Fantasy Football Weekly.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Take a chance on me. 9 players not normally in your starting lineup. Let's find out who they are, beginning with Scott Fish, your quarterback this week.
Yes, my quarterback for the week is Gardner Minshew. He's playing a matchup against the Bucs, who have allowed a lot of really, really good games, but to really good quarterbacks. But they allow the 6th highest pass rate. Teams are always throwing on the Bucs. Multiple scores and 300 plus in 3 of the last 5 for Gardner Minshew. The 2 he didn't were the 2 games he barely had Josh Downs. He needs his whoobie out there. His whoobie is going to be out there for this one.
All right.
I really like him in this one.
You mean Jelani Woods is coming back?
No.
By the way, worst hamstring injury in the history of mankind? What happened?
They're big hamstrings.
Yeah, big hamstrings. Good heavens. You're taking a chance on me, quarterback, Brian.
I've got Matt Stafford at Arizona. Now, initially, I was going to take this, like, snarky angle, assuming Cooper Kupp was going to miss this game, because Matt Stafford averages, like, 50 more passing yards per game when Cooper Kupp is inactive. But Cooper Kupp is going to play in this game. But I'm still going to roll with Matt Stafford at Arizona. These teams met in week 6. Stafford only had 226 passing yards and 1 passing touchdown because Cooper Kupp played in that game. But also, Kyler Murray did not play in that game. And we love Josh Dobbs in Minnesota, of course, but Kyler Murray is an upgrade over Josh Dobbs at quarterback for the Cardinals. So I see
How
this game
you.
Being a little more competitive, and the Cardinals are allowing more than 1.5 passing touchdowns per game. So I'm going with Matt Stafford at Arizona.
Well, it's a perfect lead into my take a chance on me quarterback, who is Kyler Murray.
There we go.
Through 2 games, I think his passing has looked pretty good. Not great, pretty good. And his runnings looked really good, totally unaffected by the ACL. I mean, it's shocking, including rushing touchdowns in both his games back, averaging 41 ground yards. I absolutely did not see the running coming from Kyler Murray off the ACL.
That one scramble in his first game back, I'm like, oh, he's back.
Yeah, he looked completely like his old self.
Yep.
The Rams allowed 4 quarterback rushing touchdowns already, and every mobile quarterback they face has feasted on the Rams. Anthony Richardson, Jalen Hurts, Josh Dobbs all topped 47 yards, and 2 of the 3 scored rushing touchdowns against the Rams. Kyler's arm is just icing on the cake here. The Rams' secondary, pretty good, but every quarterback except Kenny Pickett and the then very hobbled Joe Burrow have thrown touchdowns against the Rams. Kyler Murray. you're taking a chance on me quarterback. So go to the running back position, Scott.
Yes, Charge gave him a C grade in the last segment, but he didn't go into depth because he knew I was about to, about how Kareem Hunt should be in your lineups this week. The Broncos are allowing a league-high 182 total yards per game to the opposing running backs, nearly 40 yards per game, more than the second-worst team. They also allow 1.3 touchdowns per game to opposing running backs. That's good for third most. And the Broncos have the worst run-stop win rate in per ESPN analytics.
Yeah, nice job. Totally agree with that, because as Art previously mentioned, yes. Yeah. Brian, you're take a chance on me running back.
I've got backup Steelers running back Najee Harris at Cincinnati.
Backup, yes.
Yeah.
Offensive coordinator Matt Canada fired, to everyone's delight, except Matt Canada's probably. Hopefully benefits the entire offense. But again, at this point, Harris should be considered the backup to Jalen Warren. We'll talk more about that a little later.
He's literally the backup.
I think he's still considered the starter. Well, in terms of touches, it's like equal. Back to Harris. There still should be enough meat on the bone for Harris against the Bengals, who are allowing nearly 120 combo yards and a touchdown per game to opposing running backs. And of course, those stats came with Joe Burrow at quarterback. And no, Burrow was not good at stopping the run, but he did help keep the Bengals offense on the field, which I'm not convinced Jake Browning will do. So I think we're going to see a very run-heavy game script from the Steelers. So I got Najee Harris, who most people are very scared to start at this point, and they should be.
If you give me a reason to start Tyjae Spears, I will do that. And Carolina is that reason. Yeah. Now, normally, this is the time of year when Derrick Henry starts battering tired defenses, but not now. He's fading hard with back-to-back massive dud games, totaling 28 yards and 44 yards and barely 3 yards per carry. And over the past 3 weeks, Tyjae Spears has more snaps than Derrick Henry. Only about half the volume, but half the touches, but more snaps. Spears is averaging 5.5 yards per carry, a full yard more than Henry. And maybe, just maybe, a desperate Titans staff is going to start looking for some juice from a failing running game to support a failing rookie quarterback. Carolina's allowed the most rushing touchdowns, the second most rushing yards. And Spears also, by the way, he's just really good.
Yeah,
so let's start him.
Yep.
Let's go to our take a chance on me receivers. Scott.
Yeah, I'm going over to New England. Going to get Pop Douglas in the lineups this week. Giants allowing the third most receptions and second most receiving yards to opposing wide receivers. Pop Douglas himself has had a 24% target share over the last four for New England. 5+ catches in 3 straight. His snaps, targets, catches, yards, everything have increased each week for the last month.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Brian, your take a chance on me receiver.
I was going to go 2-2 Atwell. Again, I was assuming that Cooper Kupp was going to sit, but he is not. So 2-2 is out. So I'm going back to the Steelers, and I got tight end Pat Freiermuth. Muth. He's my take-a-chance on me receiver. Just one catch in his return last week, but that was against Cleveland. He was needed as a blocker, as were the other Pittsburgh tight ends, but I think he sees more work as a receiver in this one. Muth has had at least 75 yards or a touchdown catch in each of his 4 career games against the Bengals, who are allowing nearly 6 catches and 65 yards per game to tight ends. So I think Muth comes in this week and shines some light on the tight end wasteland.
Isaiah Likely is your new starting tight end for Baltimore. Mark Andrews leaves behind 7 targets per game, and I think most of those 7 go right to Isaiah Likely, who's got the innate athleticism to run Andrews' routes. And the Baltimore starting wide receivers are all dealing with injury right now, so this feels like a Likely game coming up here against Los Angeles. Likely started 2 games last year. One of them, he had 13 targets and 100 yards. The other one, he scored a touchdown. Likely will face off against the Chargers, a team that's allowed the third most tight end receptions, the second most tight end yards, and they've allowed at least 60 yards to the position in 5 straight games. Mm. So I like Isaiah Likely a lot in this one. Let's go back to the matchups, and that begins with this dud, New England taking on the Giants. Scott, on the New England side, they're being all secretive about the quarterback. We don't want to tell you who it is so that they can't game plan.
And it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I'm going to make this real easy. I'm benching the passing game for the New England Patriots.
Okay. No,
except for Pop Douglas, who I gave a take a chance on me player. The running game, I'm only starting Ramondre Stevenson. It's a B grade. The Giants are allowing a whopping 4.6 yards per carry, good for fourth worst, which has led to them allowing the second most yards and the fourth most rushing touchdowns. After a slower start over the last five, Stevenson has taken a hold of the backfield, averaging 15.6 touches, four of those being receptions, and 87 yards. He's firmly in volume C territory, but given the matchup, he'll get the B. In 11 games, a rusher has topped 100 yards 9 times.
You don't say. How many?
Nine times. Over on the other side, the entire New York Giants passing game is on the bench. I know Tommy DeVito had 3 touchdowns last week. Somehow 2 of them went to Barkley, though. That's the guy you want to start. By the way, it's not a good matchup anyway for opposing passers against New England. Saquon Barkley is getting an A grade here. Wow. Weirdly, even with DeVito's big day, it was Barkley scoring points through the air and on the ground. Over 100 yards in 4 of the last 5. Caught at least 3 passes in all but one. Pats are kind of middle of the pack against the run, but similar volume backs have done well. And 5 of 6 lead backs over the last 6 weeks, whatever. The lead backs have scored against the Patriots.
Steelers taking on the Bengals, Brian. I like how tidy that one was. A lot to talk about there. Steelers taking on the Bengals, Brian. You already told us you like Pat Freiermuth. So does that mean you like Kenny Pickett as a starter in this game?
No, he's on the bench. Let's talk about the running backs a little more. And by the way, another divisional matchup here at another first meeting of the season for the Steelers and Bengals. So we will talk some recent history. But first, let's talk about Jaylen Warren. Easy B for Warren, borderline A. Yeah. Here's where Warren ranks among running backs with 50-plus carries per Pro Football Focus, which is a lot. Not a lot of carries, but a lot of running backs. But Warren's seen more than 50-plus carries. Yeah. He is first in yards per rush, 6.2. First in 10-plus yard runs per rush. Mm. First in missed tackles forced per rush. First in yards after contact per rush.
Wow.
All first for Jaylen Warren in those metrics. Insane. The Bengals are allowing nearly 120 combo yards and a touchdown per game to opposing running backs. So a B for Warren. There will be some meat on the bone, like I said, for Najee Harris. So he is my take a chance on me running back. Over to the passing game. Pat Freiermuth was my take a chance on me receiver. I do have a C grade also on wide receivers, George Pickens and Deontay Johnson. Without doing any research, I can tell you Deontay Johnson did not score against the Bengals last year or anyone else. For those who forgot, he had 0 touchdowns. Pickens did have 4 catches, 83 yards, and a touchdown in the most recent meeting. But I like them both the same here. The Bengals are allowing more than 170 yards per game to wide receivers, and they've surrendered 4 scores to the position over their last 3 games. And Bengals cornerback Cam Taylor-Britt should miss this game. Actually, he has been ruled out with a quad injury. So a safe C for Pickens and Deontay Johnson. But again, Pickett is on the bench. Over to the Bengals side. Of course, missing Joe Burrow. But we will start with Joe Mixon, just a C for him. Mixon has only scored in 2 of 10 career games against the Steelers.
Wow.
The most recent game coming in 2021. But Pittsburgh is allowing 135 combo yards per game to opposing running backs. And Mixon virtually has no competition for touches out of the backfield. So this is a volume-based play with Jake Browning at quarterback, but just a C for Mixon. And just a C, sadly, for Ja'Marr Chase. The Steelers have surrendered big numbers to wide receivers this year, 185 yards and a touchdown per game. But again, Jake Browning is now the quarterback for the Bengals, so just a C for Chase. T. Higgins unlikely to play with the hamstring. He's on the bench either way, even if he does suit up. Tyler Boyd on the bench.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Welcome back to Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchi and Scott Fish and Brian Johnson with you. If you miss any part of the show and you want all of my player rankings, they're available for free at guillotineleagues.com.
What about your pie rankings? Where do you have pumpkin? I'm just kidding.
Oh, don't get me going on pumpkin.
I'm not.
No. Chiefs at Raiders, next up. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. Usually I just go, well, they're obvious ace. Well, they haven't played like it lately.
Right.
So let's dive in a little bit. Both of them have slumped for three games, and Las Vegas is not the slump buster that you might think. The Las Vegas secondary ranks 16th by Pro Football Focus. That's not bad. Max Crosby's fantastic. Now, the Chiefs do have the league's top-rated pass block win rate, so, you know, Max Crosby might be neutralized to some degree here, but he's terrific. Cornerbacks Marcus Peters and Nate Hobbs for Las Vegas both rank in the top third among starting cornerbacks in coverage by Pro Football Focus, and the Raiders have been solid against tight ends this year, although they did allow big games recently to Tyler Conklin and Sam Laporta. But it's still Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce against the Raiders, and I can't get myself to not give them A grades. Even though that offense doesn't look right,
yeah,
that defense is kind of carrying the team.
Which is honestly scary. Once it starts to look right, man.
Yeah, then what? Because the defense has been really good. Yeah. L'Jarius Sneed, we're going to talk about in a minute. Holy cow. Let's talk about Isaiah Pacheco. Man, did I love the way he ran on Monday night. Oh, so hard against a great Eagles run defense. Compared to the Eagles, this game is going to feel very easy for Pacheco. Raiders allow 146 total yards per game to opposing running backs. That is the second most in the league. And the Raiders allow 4.5 yards per carry to opposing running backs, sixth most. The only reason I can't give Pacheco an A grade here, his receiving is completely dried up. We loved that earlier in the year. We're like, hey, we didn't think we were getting any receptions out of Pacheco. And there they were. Not lately. Over the past three games, Pacheco has one receiving yard.
Jeez.
That's it. So I can only go B grade on Isaiah Pacheco.
McKinnon is out, though, for this one.
Yeah, McKinnon's out for this one.
That might help.
So maybe that will give him a couple of receptions.
Yeah.
If you think that's the case, move him to an A grade at your own discretion. We can't do anything with these wide receivers. I lament this many weeks, and it's an old story that you already know. Really had hoped that Rashee Rice, at this stage, middle of his rookie year, would start taking command.
Right.
Not happening. So there's really no receiver you can...
All the metrics are there.
I know.
It's like the Kyle Pitts of wide receivers.
Except he's good. Let's go to the Las Vegas side. Josh Jacobs averaging a whopping 22 rushes in the last three games under
Huge.
Antonio Pierce, which you love. But Pierce has also dried up Jacobs' targets. He had been averaging 4 catches for 30 yards per game under Josh McDaniels. Now it's like free. That's a free 7 fantasy points right there out of your running back. But under Pierce, he's averaging 1 catch for 7 yards. That's 1.7 fantasy points. The Chiefs' pass defense is becoming smothering, and the path of least resistance is on the ground. So I think we're going to get a lot of running from Jacobs. Four straight opponents have had a runner top 76 yards against the Chiefs, and three of those four have scored touchdowns. We've got a B grade on Jacobs. Again, can't go A because he's not catching the ball, but we'll go with a B grade on Josh Jacobs here. In the passing game, there's only two guys you care about, and they're both really almost long shot starts here. Devontae Adams, 13 targets in back-to-back games, which you love. 80 or more yards in both of those and a score. Kansas City secondary surrendered the sixth fewest receptions and the seventh fewest yards to opposing receivers. But here's where it gets really hairy. Adams going to get a long look at L'Jarius Sneed, and he might be the best cornerback in the league right now. It's unbelievable. He has yet to allow a touchdown. He gives up a 52 passer rating in his coverage. He just shut down A.J. Brown on Monday, holding A.J. Brown to one catch for 8 yards. Yeah. In fact, over the last five games, he's averaging in his coverage one catch for 12 yards. It's unbelievable that a starting cornerback can do that. I can only get you to a B grade on Adams, and really it should be a C grade, but I'm giving him a B just on volume. Jacoby Myers won't see L'Jarius Sneed, but Antonio Pierce is just killing him. All those runs for Myers, all those targets for Adams have come at the expense of Jacoby Myers since Pierce took over. Myers averaging 2 catches for 32 yards.
Jeez.
But because he won't see L'Jarius Sneed, and instead he's going to see cornerback Jalen Watson, he's given up 5 touchdowns in his coverage along with a passer rating of 123, so I still have a C grade on Jacoby Myers. And there's no other Raiders that you would consider starting. I've got a league I want to ask you guys about.
Okay.
Brian's in this league. This is an empire league. And for those that don't know, it's a dynasty league where half of the money gets paid out every year and half of it's in a rolling pot waiting for some team to win back-to-back years. And then they get the rolling pot and the league dissolves.
Don't tell them how much money's in the pot in case the IRS is listening.
Yeah, no kidding, because it's been going for, I think, like 11 years now or something. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
So it's been going a long time. I am, well, my role in this is not important. Mm-hmm. We've got a team in this league, Scott, that is not a very good team.
Yep.
2 weeks ago, owner in this team started a bye week player.
No.
Not cool.
Nope.
And then last week, instead, benched Joe Mixon for Jeff Wilson.
Yep.
And just to clear the air, it's not me. I'm not that team.
Yeah, you're not that guy.
Okay.
So what is the appropriate response for a commissioner here?
I feel like if it's reported in time to do so, you fix the lineup. I believe leagues need to have valid starting lineups unless otherwise stated. I have run leagues and had leagues that tanking is 100% allowed. We're like, tank if you want to. It's understood if everybody knows going in. But like we've both been playing for over 30 years. Setting valid lineups and not tanking, not intentionally tanking, has been a rule forever. It's one of the most known unwritten rules in fantasy football.
Correct. And in this case, we've got a lot of money on the line that the integrity of wins and losses is a very big deal. When
Absolutely.
You're trying to lose, you're giving wins to somebody.
You're giving free win. I get the tanking to help your team, and that's why I have leagues where you're allowed to tank.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not explicitly stated, you can't be allowing that.
No, I don't. So what do you do in retrospect?
Yeah, hopefully if it's reported in time that the commissioner can fix it. In leagues that I have that don't allow tanking, if it's reported before that Thursday morning stat correction, we're able to fix it.
All right, but what about, it's one thing if a player's just on bye, right? You put a bye week player in, that's pretty easy. What about benching Joe Mixon for Jeff Wilson?
Yeah, so my rules have bye week injured or obviously inferior players, like right in my bylaws. I don't know your bylaws for that league, but yeah, we generally fix a lot of those.
Okay.
Doesn't happen too often because I vet my owners really well, but you get a person like that sometimes.
One way to mitigate this in this league, in any league, whether it's Empire, Dynasty, Redraft, is you have the last place penalty, whether it's you go to IHOP and Death by Waffles or Waffle House, whatever, or it's a monetary penalty for coming in last place. Like, you got to pay the first place team's entry fee or something like that. I don't know, but last place penalty.
Yeah, that helps. I have a lot of leagues that do draft order by potential points instead of your starting lineup points or your win-loss. Mm-hmm. And that way, when someone benches a stud, it does nothing for their draft order. So they
that's
don't.
That's really interesting.
That's what one company does. And it has completely removed tanking from the situation. Nobody tanks because it doesn't matter.
All right. I had never heard that suggestion. That's a really good one.
I will say I am playing this team this week, and he's been a big boy, and he has a big boy lineup. Good for you. You know who you are out there if you're listening.
Oh, boy.
But there is a compliant lineup I'm facing
this
week.
I'm glad to hear that that's the case. What do you do? We roll into this weekend. We've already had four games played. What do you do if you're way up? If you're way up because you started, Dak Prescott, or you started Christian McCaffrey, you started Jordan Love. Or what if you're way down because you started Zach Charbonnet or Brian Robinson or AJ Dillon or DK Metcalf or TJ Lockett or Geno Smith? What do you do when either of those scenarios as you head into this weekend's play?
I feel like we talk about this every year.
We do, right? At this very day, every year we talk about this.
Yeah, every year. You go for the higher upside plays, even though the floor isn't there. You switch it up and go for the guys you think
can have. If you're up or down?
If you're down.
Okay.
I think it's it's just the reverse for both of them. You play it safe if you're up. You do the best upside play if you're down. But mostly I think people don't have a lot of those bench options. You just play your best players regardless most of the time.
Yeah, if you're down big, you got to try and stack players from the same team if you can. You remove correlation from your opponent. Say, I have the quarterback and you're beating me, Charge, and you've got their number one wide receiver. I got to go another quarterback because I'm not going to catch you.
Yeah, vice versa. If you're ahead, you look for that correlation.
Yeah. Is Geno Smith going to finish the year? Will he play out all of the games as Seattle's starting quarterback?
I think if healthy and they're still in the playoff hunt.
I think
one or the other.
Yeah.
But if they fall out of the playoff hunt, which would be hard in the NFC, even though the Seahawks
Nobody
are
wants
sliding.
It in the NFC.
I think if they do, then they maybe give Locke a look. But I'm gonna say yes for now.
I'm gonna say yes as well.
It's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, right now with Geno Smith, it does not look particularly good. At the moment, I don't think.
No. Nope.
I don't think so either. There's a lot of questions around that. Let's go to Jake Browning.
How about that catch from Njigba the other day?
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That was fantastic.
He's
the one hander.
Yeah.
The little shades of Odell Beckham, don't you think?
Yeah.
I thought so too. Jake Browning's effect on this Bengals offense looks like it's gonna be potentially severe. What are your feelings on Bengals going forward? And you're probably going to start Jamar Chase the rest
Chase.
Of the year, but everybody else
Chase is the one
Joe
you
Mixon.
Trust. And for Mixon, for everybody else in that offense, I think the best thing you can possibly do is tune into Fantasy Football Weekly every week to get our grades
idea.
On those players.
I really like that idea.
I think that's the best you could do.
Browning's got a little mobility to him.
Yeah.
The passing looks pretty suspect.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty nervous about the rest of that group. And even Chase, I think, is going to have some dud games get mixed in that are going to frustrate a lot of owners.
Yeah. I got a question for you since we're just randomly asking questions at the end of this segment.
Isn't even three tough questions. Coming
I know.
Up next.
Who's the rookie wide receiver you want most next year? Jaden Reed, Puka Nacua, Tank Dell. There's so Jordan Addison.
It's Tank Dell.
Is it Tank Dell?
The quarterback.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you think he'll be the highest ranked rookie in Dynasty or, for Dynasty Leagues next year for...
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do. CJ Stroud has a chance to be awesome.
Yeah.
If we roll the clock ahead 1 or 2 years, he might be the best.
The new Mahomes.
Quarterback. That's right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's possible. By the way, CJ Stroud, this isn't a betting show.
Yeah.
CJ Stroud to win MVP. Rookie of the year is already done.
Yeah.
MVP plus 1,800, 18-1.
Yep.
And who's in his way? I mean, sure, Jalen Hurts' team is 9-1, but Hurts hasn't played that well, honestly. Or Patrick Mahomes, he hasn't played that well.
Mm-mm.
The AFC is like, it's up for grabs. Houston's one game out of first place with a tiebreaker. They're one win out of first place in the AFC. So to win MVP, you've got to be a really good quarterback on a highly seeded team.
Yep.
That could be Stroud.
It absolutely could be Stroud. I like it.
18-1.
I like it.
Yeah. Where if you are in you're in an area where you can bet legally.
Yeah.
That is something you could give some thought to if you wanted to as a possibility. All right, so let me hit you with a couple other time killers here before we get to three. I know.
This is incredible.
I know it is incredible. I don't think we've ever had a segment with so much free available time.
We only did one matchup in this segment.
I know we never have a one matchup segment, but that's just how it worked. I blame the Patriots and the Giants, by the way, for that.
Yeah,
and then we'll roll right back into the matchups in just a few minutes. But let's talk Browns for just a splash for a second here.
Okay.
On Browns.
Yeah.
Jerome Ford is a power, as a lead back on a team that now almost has to run the ball. I think he could be a sneaky league winner kind of guy.
He could be. And people don't see him that way at all.
Not at all.
Yep.
But I think there's a chance Jerome Ford's going to be one of those guys where you look back and go, yeah, he powered me through the playoffs.
Well, they're going to run and play defense in Cleveland. That's the game plan.
That's about all they can do.
No shocker there. Yeah,
that's about it. All right, when we come back, three tough questions. You'll want to see if you can go 3-0 against our co-hosts, Scott and Brian. Also, later on in the show, a segment we love. Premature speculation. Guys, you can pick up now that the rest of the league will be trying to pick up, but they'll already be on your team. When we come back for hour number two, Fantasy Football Weekly.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly, hour number two. Paul Jarchi and Scott Fish and Brian Johnson. You can follow us on the site formerly known as Twitter. I am at Paul Jarchi and Scott Fish is at ScottFish24 and Brian is at BTXJ. This is a game we call Three Tough Questions.
Tough question number one.
For the rest of the season, Baltimore tight end Isaiah Likely will most commonly get what letter grade on this show? A, B, C, or bench. Now, you already know he got a B grade for me earlier in this show. Did we do that one yet?
We did.
I used my take a chance on me playing. We didn't break it down yet.
Oh, we didn't break down the B grade.
All right, so let's begin with Scott Fish.
All right, so I think it's going to be between a B and a C for most of the matchups here. I put C, though. My thoughts here are, the Ravens went heavy to Beckham after Andrews left. That's where the ball started going once Andrews was down. They didn't immediately shove Likely into that role. And you talked about the two games last year. One of them, there's one catch, one touchdown. That's all it was. The other one was a Week 17 game where Anthony Brown started. Their two top wide receivers and their top tight end were out. And the decaying corpse of Kenyon Drake was in at running back because all their running backs were injured. They had to go to Isaiah Likely 13 times. I do like that they went to him. But I'm not as confident as if those two were two normal games in the middle of the season with Lamar Jackson. I feel like there's something to be said for the fact that they went to Beckham so much right after he went out. So I'm going to go C grade. He's going to get some B's, though. There are some matchups.
All right, Brian. Rest of the season, Baltimore tight end Isaiah Likely will most commonly get what letter grade from this show?
Definitely no worse than a C. We wouldn't be giving Mark Andrews a C in any matchup if he were healthy. And we know Andrews is going to miss most of the regular season, at least through Week 17.
Yeah, this, what we this care question about. Is presuming right. Andrews does not play the fantasy
just
season.
Just wanted to hammer that home. But so Likely will be the starting tight end. But you know what? They have other tight ends in Baltimore. Charlie Kohler, I believe, is one. I say Likely might be needed to play wide receiver. And he can do that. That's OBJ is banged up. Zay Flowers banged up, even though he's looking likely to play on Monday night. Rashad Bateman, just not very good. So there's some shootout potential on the horizon starting this week at the Chargers. The 49ers on the docket. That is actually somewhat of a favorable matchup for opposing pass attacks. So I got a B on the majority of the games remaining for Isaiah Likely.
Five games left, including this weekend. Only one difficult matchup, San Francisco, on the schedule. The other four are somewhere between neutral and easy. And I've already gave you a bunch of key points about Isaiah Likely earlier in the show during Take a Chance on Me. Now, if you don't know, Isaiah Likely is not a blocker. He is a pure receiving tight end and athletic enough to replace Andrews' routes. He can run those routes. Andrews, to this point, has six touchdowns. All of the rest of the receivers on the team have six touchdowns.
Yeah.
This is a offense that offensive coordinator Todd
Monken. Oh, there's their thing.
Don't call me.
Thank you.
Art.
Jesus. Monken schemes his tight ends for scores, and I don't think he's got to change it for Isaiah Likely. Most commonly, B grade.
Okay.
Tough question number two.
Rest of season. Chicago quarterback Justin Fields will most commonly get what letter grade from this show? We begin with Brian Johnson.
All right, looking at his last five games from a fantasy perspective, again, ending in Week 17, starting this week, and this is just from a purely passing perspective in my mind. At Minnesota, I got a C, then bye, then home against Detroit, that's a B. At Cleveland, that's a C, maybe bench, maybe bench. Arizona, B, Atlanta, C. But Justin Fields doesn't just rely on his arm.
No.
He's got legs, of course. So I'm bumping all those grades up a notch based on his legs. And if you do that, I got mostly Bs for Justin Fields.
Scott, rest of season, Chicago quarterback Justin Fields will most commonly get what letter grade on this show?
It's almost exactly word for word what I had. I went through, but I did not split it up. I have him with four Bs and one C. The Browns one being the only tough spot where I don't feel I can, you know, confidently start Justin Fields.
Four of the five remaining games are against teams that are in the bottom half of quarterback rushing yards allowed. Yeah. And only Cleveland looks like the stopper.
Yep.
But even then, because of the rushing, he's still going to get a C grade in that game coming into it. He might finish better than that. Offensive coordinator Luke Getsy, God bless him. And I haven't said that often this year. I love the fact that last week, the first game off of him missing a month of service, they ran him 14 times right off the bat, too.
By the way, I think the three games, if you don't count the Minnesota game where he got injured, I believe that his last three games he's had like 30 fantasy points each.
And I think that's probably
his last three.
Well, he's
games.
Averaged 65 rushing yards since week four. I think that is three games. He's been a top 10 quarterback in every full game he's played since week four. Already a B grade this week. I think he's going to finish with A grades against Detroit and Arizona, C grade against Cleveland, and a B grade against Atlanta. You mix all that together. Oh, it's almost an A, but
it's
going to be a B grade as the most common grade for Justin Fields.
Tough question number three.
All right, let's fast forward to Tuesday.
Yeah.
Should I sabotage drop Garrett Wilson? He ended up with a garbage time touchdown in the end of Friday's game. Obviously, and again, we clarified last week, you weren't here for this, Scott. We clarified exactly what constitutes a sabotage drop.
Though.
You know all about it. It's got to be somebody good enough that your opponents will pick them up, start them, and they'll hurt your opponent.
And also waste Fab.
And money, yeah, and hopefully waste possible. Fab money or roster positioning or whatever. Yeah. So, yes. So, fast forward to Tuesday. Should I sabotage drop Garrett Wilson? Scott.
I am going to lean no, and I'm not even that strong on it, but he's seen 25 to 30% of Tim Boyle's targets in the game in a quarter or whatever. He had 10 targets in that Friday game as well. The garbage time touchdown, the yardage is going to be low, but it's a lot of usage. And my thought process is you're probably replacing someone's wide receiver three or four in their lineup. And Garrett Wilson, what he's going to do going forward is probably actually helping, you know, a little bit better than what that person probably has on their team. So I'm going to go with no, but I get it.
Brian, fast forward to Tuesday. Should I sabotage drop Garrett Wilson?
Initially, I was going to say no, too, because all season, from the moment Aaron Rodgers went down, which was the first drive of the season for the Jets, Garrett Wilson has managed essentially put up wide receiver two numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Before last week, that's not the Black Friday game. Total dud last week. As we mentioned, he had the garbage time touchdown in the Black Friday game against the Dolphins. They have the Dolphins again in week 15. But looking at the two games before that, versus Atlanta, versus Houston, those are bad matchups where I might give Wilson a C if Aaron Rodgers was healthy. Then they get Miami again, where he only had the 29 yards and the garbage time touchdown. You can't bank on that again. Then Washington week 16, the only good matchup. Week 17 at Cleveland, you're not touching that.
Oh.
And that's a Thursday night game, too. Gross. So sabotage, drop them. Listen, y'all.
Okay.
It's a sabotage.
So we're at a point in the season where I think we can start talking about the playoffs.
Yeah.
And ask yourself this. Can I win my league starting a Jets wide receiver three straight times?
Nope.
No way. And that's why we're going to sabotage drop Garrett Wilson. Unless you want to roll the dice maybe on like Aaron Rodgers coming back, you know, way early or something.
Or Tannehill getting released and jumping over to the Jets.
Something like that. I mean, it would have to be a change of quarterback, which it's not. I don't think it's coming. It seems very unlikely anyway. And as Brian mentioned, I had this in my notes too. The Washington start is the only one where you feel like I can put him in my lineup and feel good about Garrett Wilson. All the rest are bad. And then the week 17, and I'd like to believe I'm playing in week 17, total stopper for Garrett Wilson. Let's sabotage drop him and see what happens.
And again, don't do it just to do it. It has to benefit you. Maybe you improve your waiver position or you're going to knock out the fab leader in your league or anything.
It's going to hurt the guy that my opponent that picks him up. That's how it benefits me, I think. Bucks taking on the Colts. Scott, Baker Mayfield, we've talked about many times in this show because he keeps popping up with these positive matchups, and he's been a take-a-chance-on-me staple.
Yeah, we're not even allowed to choose him for take-a-chance-on-me.
Yeah, we're done with Baker Mayfield.
Yes, we're done. We're done.
What do you think about him this week?
It's another okay spot. I got a C grade on him. Four of the last five QBs to face the Colts were hauled under 185 yards. The last five quarterbacks combined for five touchdowns and eight picks. It hasn't been stellar, but Baker's getting 230 to 280 yards, one to two touchdowns. Those quarterbacks that face the Colts, I would say at Baker's level or worse. And the Colts have given up the eighth most touchdowns. I got a C grade. I don't love it, but I'm going to guess you might have a better matchup with nobody probably on bye. So I can see benching him. Mike Evans, I got a B grade on. He's still seeing 40% of the team's end zone targets, which is that he scored in seven different games, scored in four of the last five. Lead receivers against the Colts are averaging 7 for 98 yards on 10 targets. I can see Mike Evans doing that. I got a B grade there. C grade on Chris Godwin. He scored just once this year because Mike Evans has gained all that. Yeah. And hasn't topped 60 yards in a month, but he's still getting 6+ targets. He's getting 4+ catches in almost every single game. And that 4 to 6 catches, 40 to 70 yards with no scores, that's C level. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're getting barely over double digit points from him. Bench grade on Cade Otton. He's seen better matchups, and despite playing 95% of the time, he's averaging like 3 for 30, and you need to score. Yeah, Rashad White, B grade there. I love the usage recently, especially in the pass game. Mm-hmm. Over the last 5 weeks, White has turned into a bell cow, averaging 19 touches, five of them being receptions. Five receptions a game. Wow. Like, you had 30 yards. You're getting like eight points minimum, 9 points minimum through the pass game. He's also scored four times in the last 3 weeks. He converted four of his five attempts inside the five. I know Charch loves that. Mm-hmm. The Colts' eighth easiest matchup for opposing runners. We just watched Zeke and Ramondre Stevenson go for 190 total on this team in the last matchup. Over to the other side, Gardner Minshew was my take a chance on me player, and a big part of that is because he's got his whoopee Josh Downs coming back.
All right.
I have a B grade on Josh Downs. No team allows more fantasy points to the slot than the Bucs. In fact, they allow twice as many fantasy points to the slot as they do to the perimeter.
Wow.
The only other team in that category is the Steelers, which they're not really playing a great slot guy this week anyway. Last 2 weeks were not good slot matchups, but this one is. The two previous that he had where there was a good slot matchup, he went 7 for 72, and then he had 100-plus yard in a score day. Bucks allowed the second most touchdowns to the slot. They're bad all around against the slot. Alec Pierce, cardio boy, running 90% of the routes, seeing 10% of the targets, is on the bench. Cardio boy. Jonathan Taylor, B grade. Moss dropped from 15 touches to 8 to 1 touch last week.
And, you know, Moss had played pretty well this season.
Yeah. But since getting that full workload from Jonathan Taylor over the last 3 weeks, he's averaging over 20 touches, 90 yards, scoring three of those four. Tampa Bay, it's a good defense against backs. It's mostly because they don't run. Teams do not run a lot on them. It's fourth hardest, but only four backs have had more than 15 touches against the Bucs. Those backs averaged about 110 yards. So I have a B grade on Jonathan Taylor.
All right. When we come back, Panthers take on the Titans. We'll see if there's any Panther other than Adam Thielen that you dare try in this matchup. Brian's tempted to answer that now. No. Don't. You got to make people wait for an exciting Panthers matchup.
Let's just drop all the Panthers except for Adam Thielen at this point.
That might be the case. We'll find out when we come back. More Fantasy Football Weekly. Stay tuned.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Welcome back. Fantasy Football Weekly, a big block O matchups for you. Beginning with Panthers, Titans, doesn't feel like there's a lot of meat on this bone, but Adam Thielen's been really good. So, I mean, there's that, right?
Yeah, if there was a vegan matchup, this would probably be it.
Like
so, Adam Thielen, we'll start with him. He gets a B. With head coach Frank Reich back to calling plays, Thielen is money in the bank. Again, he's seen double-digit targets in back-to-back games and in five of his last six. The Titans are allowing 15 catches, 182 yards, and one touchdown per game to wide receivers. And honestly, that whole line could go to Adam Thielen in this game.
Yeah, right.
It's not going to Jonathan Mingo, who's on the bench. Through nine games, Mingo has totaled 24 catches for 226 scoreless yards. We're talking about the fifth wide receiver taken, the 39th overall pick.
Wow.
I mean, Tank Dell, Bukuna, like the list goes on and on. Carolina bricked this draft bad. So that speaks to Bryce Young. He is on the bench. Tight end Tommy Tremble on the bench. And Miles Sanders and Chuba Hubbard on the bench as well. Just when it looked like Hubbard was going to take over a full-time role, he and Sanders both touched the ball 12 times last week and played an almost equal number of snaps, 29 to 27. Tennessee's one stout run defense has somewhat eroded, but you can't trust Hubbard or Sanders against anyone at this point.
I thought Sanders ran as well last week as I've seen him all year.
Yeah, he looked good, but it's still not a great matchup on paper.
I'm not advocating starting him. I'm just noting. I thought he looked kind of spry.
Ed, worth mentioning, the Panthers, if anyone is still contemplating starting either of these backs, lost starting right guard Austin Corbett to IR. So bad all around for Carolina. Over to the Titans side. A-grade.
Fantasy Fonzie.
For Derrick Henry, this should be vintage King Henry game, and sadly, it might be his last of his career, but this is a smash spot for Henry, who faces the Panthers defense, allowing 115 rushing yards per game to running backs. That's on the ground alone. That is the fifth most. Opposing backs also averaging nearly five catches per game against Carolina, who have surrendered 16 total touchdowns to the running back position. That is the most, and that is why Tyjae Spears was your take-a-chance-on-me running back charge. He will certainly have a role in this game as well. And the last Titan that I will give a starting grade to is DeAndre Hopkins, but just to see, Hopkins has seen a 26% target share with Will Levis as his quarterback. That is good, but Levis is not, and this is also not a great matchup. Teams just do not throw on Carolina.
They don't have to.
Carolina has yielded the third fewest targets to wide receivers, who are averaging a measly 11 catches and 130 yards per game as a whole against Carolina, and that's why Chris Moore, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Kyle Phillips on the bench. Treylon Burks has been ruled out again. And then Chig Okonkwo, Trevon Wesco, and Josh Wiley, the tight ends, all played exactly 16 snaps last week.
Why do you
they're on the
know
bench.
That?
Because we all wanted Chig Okonkwo to be something, but he is sadly not, at least this year.
Derrick Henry got me chopped in two guillotine leagues last week, and now he comes back this week with like the primo opportunity.
Of course.
He's going to rub salt in that wound, unfortunately.
Ravens taking on the Chargers. Let's talk this one through. Speaking of guys that have been underperforming, Lamar Jackson actually playing pretty well, but it hasn't equated to fantasy box scores, but it will this week. Chargers are the opponent. They allow the most passing yards, and it's not close, by the way, 311 per game. The only quarterbacks who have failed to score multiple touchdowns against the Chargers are backups. Jackson's got an elite matchup all over the field, including even at the tight end, right? Isaiah Likely, who we like. Chargers are a decent run defense, so there's less likelihood of Gus Edwards dominating the touchdowns like he has of lately. Chargers lost Joey Bosa to a foot injury, so Jackson's going to have time in the pocket. There's just so much to like about Lamar here. This is an easy A grade for him. Let's go to the receivers. Let's start with Zay Flowers, who says he's going to play. Chargers have allowed the fourth most yards to wide receivers, second most scores to the position. Flowers runs from all over the field and has a particularly primo matchup against cornerback Michael Davis, who's allowed six scores, the second most among all players. Flowers' problem, though, is touchdowns. He's got one on the season, and because of his diminutive stature, I just think he's not an end zone target.
He has had two called back, annoyingly.
Yeah, that is frustrating.
And if you're banking on Zay Flowers, he says he's going to play, but this is the Sunday night game. You might want to grab Nelson Aguilar just in the event.
Your backup. Yeah, great call.
Of a
great
late scratch or something like
and by
that.
Oh, no, Beckham's also a game-time decision. So he's got the shoulder injury. So another reason you could go get Nelson Aguilar, who's actually been fantasy startable in a couple of these spots over the course of the season. For Beckham, who's scored and or topped 100 yards in three straight. This has been an impressive run that he's on, but he's constantly dinged up. Like Flowers, he runs on the outside, so he's got all the same advantages that I just talked about with Zay Flowers, who, by the way, if I didn't mention it, comes in with a B grade. I've got a C grade on Beckham. It would have been a B if he were fully healthy, but only the C because he's not. Let's go to the running backs. Gus Edwards, totally touchdown dependent, but those scores have certainly been coming. 9 touchdowns in his last 5 halves, all coming within the 10-yard line. I can only give him a C grade here because the usage.
How come you didn't say in his last 5 halves he has scored 9 times?
That's a great point. Why wouldn't I do that?
9 times.
Jeez. What's wrong with me?
It's right there.
Right there. I can only give him a C grade because the usage and yardage is shrinking. Keaton Mitchell's emergence is real. He only had a 38% snap rate last week for Gus Edwards. C grade for him. And then the aforementioned Keaton Mitchell, also a C grade, coming off a career-high 24 snaps last week. Still only got him 8 carries. But we got to figure he's trending in the right general direction here. Startable with the hopes for a sizzling highlight play. Chargers allowing the 11th most yards per game to opposing running backs. So the opportunity's there. I'm going to go C grade on Keaton Mitchell. And
hope he
brings in a long one.
How big of a season would J.K. Dobbins be having right now if he had stayed healthy?
Another planet, right?
Yeah.
Brutal.
I know. We called that, though.
Which part of it?
We called J.K. Dobbins, like this other multiversal world where J.K. Dobbins, that's a great one.
Let's go to the Chargers side of this game, beginning with Austin Ekeler, a rare B grade. In a tough matchup for him. And you got to factor in some recent dud games for Ekeler, too. Coming off his season-low 12 touches, Ekeler, surprisingly, has the 8th worst running grade by Pro Football Focus. And the Chargers' offensive line is the 2nd worst run block grade. Ravens are a middle-of-the-pack run defense by most metrics, but they do give up 4.5 yards per carry. That's 9th most. So you've got an angle here on Ekeler. He's still, obviously, you're going to start him, but I just don't have the usual optimism I normally have on Ekeler in this game. All right, let's go to the passing game. And I want to start with Justin Air Bear. Baltimore's allowed the fewest passing touchdowns, 0.8 per game. Only one quarterback has topped 1 touchdown against Baltimore all season long. Your tiny window of optimism is that the Ravens haven't played any top-tier quarterbacks aside from Joe Burrow, who was hurt in both of the Ravens games. And then the Keenan Allen matchup's tricky, too, and normally that's your go-to guy. I don't love it all here. I can only give you a C grade on Justin Air Bear Herbert. Keenan Allen, B grade. In the last 2 weeks, he leads the league in targets, receptions, yards, and touchdowns, so you'd think it'd be an automatic A for Keenan Allen. You got to start him, but tough matchup. Allen lines up in the slot 60% of the time. That means he's going to have his hands full with Kyle Hamilton and Arthur Mollett. Hamilton gives up just a 57 passer rating, and Mollett hasn't allowed a touchdown all year. So, I mean, it's a tough spot. Since week 2, Baltimore has only allowed 4 touchdowns to wide receivers. And that brings us to the tight end position. Donald Parham. If Gerald Everett is out, and it looks like he's going to be out for this game, I think Parham's startable. With Everett out last week, Parham ran 30 routes. In games where Parham has run 23 or more routes, he averages 5 targets, 4 catches, 50 yards, and half a touchdown. We'll take that. Mm-hmm. That's a win for a tight end. Over the last 5 weeks, Baltimore's allowed the 5th most tight end receptions. So, yeah, let's give Parham a shot with a C grade. And then what about Quentin Johnson?
You're totally skipping over Stone Cold Smart.
I know. I was like, who is this guy? Apparently he's got a pedigree as as a quarterback, a running back, a receiver, a tight end, something like that in his history. He's apparently a great athlete.
6'4", 226.
Well, Parham's even bigger than that.
Let me guess. He played basketball at some point in life.
Probably did. Quentin Johnson. We're only half a season into his rookie year. So I'm not calling anybody a bust, but he might be a bust. I mean, he had a game-changing drop last week. This is like the he's had so many great opportunities for Quentin Johnson to be a big part of this offense. Hasn't happened yet. And it's not probably happening against Baltimore.
That's the problem. Sometimes I see people being like, oh, Julio Jones only did this in his first, 9-10 games. Players who only did so much in their first 9 or 10 games.
Yeah.
I'm like, but Johnson's had the opportunities and hit him in the chest and dropped.
Right.
You know?
That's the worry. Rams taking on the Cards, Brian. On the Rams side, you already told us about Matthew Stafford, who you liked in this matchup. Cooper Kupp's going to play.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp is going to play. I had an A on Puka Nacua, assuming Kupp was going to sit. I thought they might rest him in this game, but again, they're not. So I got a B on both Kupp and Nacua. And I mentioned this earlier, the Rams and Cardinals did meet in week six for the first meeting of the season, so we'll reference that. Puka only had four catches for 26 scoreless yards in the first meeting. Kupp went off for seven catches, 148 yards and a touchdown. But that could easily be flip-flopped. You're not going to sit either one when they're healthy. So just a B, though, for Kupp and Nacua. Tutu Atwell was going to be my take-a-chance-me wide receiver if Kupp sat.
Yeah.
But Kupp is playing, so Atwell is on the bench. And Tyler Higbee was going to get a C if Kupp sat, because Higbee has averaged 6.5 targets and 50 yards per game with Kupp on the sideline. But, again, Kupp playing, so Higbee on the bench. But guess who's not on the bench and who is back?
Kyren Williams,
my boy. I wanted to give him an A. I thought he was going to walk into a full-time, you know, workload. Sean McVay's kind of hinted they'll ease him back in. I don't totally buy it. I still think he leads the Rams backfield in touches. He had 158 rushing yards and a score in the first meeting. He didn't need to catch a pass because the Rams kind of rolled the Cardinals in this one. Arizona has surrendered the third most PPR points to running back, so a safe B for Kyren Williams and his return, and Royce Freeman back to the bench. He did beat out Daryl Henderson, though, which
he
I did not see
now
coming.
They dropped Henderson altogether.
I mean, if you're in a super deep league, Royce Freeman might be playable in a pinch, but for the most part, he is on the bench. Over to the Arizona side, James Conner forever gets a C, basically. Did not play in the first meeting, so no recent history there. But he has touched the ball at least 16 times in the two games since returning from IR, but not the best matchup for Conner. The Rams are allowing just 109 combo yards per game. So, again, per usual, just a volume C for James Conner. And over to the passing game, it's a little messy here. Michael Wilson ruled out again. He will not play. So we got Marquise Brown, Rondale Moore, and Greg Dortch. I'm going to give all of them a C. Brown was targeted 11 times in the first meeting, but only caught four balls for 34 scoreless yards. But again, Josh Dobbs was the quarterback then. They have a quote-unquote new quarterback now. That is Kyler Murray. So Hollywood should still be Murray's preferred option at wide receiver. Moore caught a long touchdown last year on his only target, but Greg Dortch, he led the Cardinals in receiving. So I like Brown, then Dortch, then Moore with C grades in that order. And lastly, Kyler Murray was your take a chance on me quarterback charge. Yeah. I'm what sorry, not lastly. Trey McBride, lastly.
Trey McBride in here.
Didn't come through with that A grade last year, but still commands a ton of targets when Murray's the quarterback. He had four catches for 62 yards in the first game, Trey McBride. And that was with Zach Ertz
was healthy then.
Playing, yeah. Ertz not playing in this game. The Rams allowing nearly five catches and 60 yards per game to tight ends. So a safe B for Trey McBride.
All right. When we come back, a segment we like to call premature speculation. We'll give you guys you can pick up this week that would normally not be available, or people try to pick up next. You know how this works.
Yeah.
Premature speculation coming up next. Stay tuned.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Final segment, Fantasy Football Weekly for this week, number 12. Man, the playoffs are almost here. Unbelievable. Yeah,
so close.
I think it's Galaga, Defender, something like something that. I'm not positive. This is a segment we call Premature Speculation. Players you want to pick up now that other people will be trying to pick up next week. Scott, who you got?
I'm going to go with A.T. Perry. With Michael Thomas sidelined for a bit here, A.T. Perry is the next man up, 6'5", 210, 4'4", 740. I know Charch is the type of guy that loves those metrics. Yes, Olave and Shaheed are out there, but Perry got four targets and a score after Thomas went down. Not just that, he led the team in snaps after Thomas went down, so he was out there. There's a non-zero chance he becomes something.
Right. Okay, A.T. Perry, kind of interested in that angle. Brian, who's your premature speculation player?
Not super exciting, but you might just have yourself a starting running back down the stretch, and that is Cincinnati's Travion Williams, and it's this simple. The Bengals are in last place in their division right now. They're done. They're not making the playoffs.
They're not.
What is the point of continually running Joe Mixon into the ground, who's really done nothing anyway? Why not at some point? And Travion Williams is the only running back who's been getting touches. Granted, it's a change of pace other than Mixon.
Yeah.
So Travion Williams, they might just run him out there and he'll get 15, 20 touches a game. And not that you're going to, he's an auto start, but he's a nice player to have on your bench at the very least. So
for sure.
Travion Williams.
All right. My premature speculation is also a backup running back. Kenneth Gainwell from Philadelphia. Now, do you guys remember back in August when we
He was going to be the starter.
Well, we didn't know for sure, right? You know, but we were like, there's too many guys. And most of us passed on DeAndre Swift many, many times in the draft, right? Because he went off the board in like round six of most fantasy drafts, I'm estimating. Much of our hesitation was because of Swift's history of injury, which is very real. Spanning all three of his Detroit seasons, he missed significant time in all of those seasons, despite never even being a workhorse. Fast forward to today. Swift's logging 20 touches per game since week two. A pace that puts him behind only Josh Jacobs, Christian McCaffrey, and Travis Etienne. That's it. Then DeAndre Swift. Now, it's hard to guess right on when a player is going to be injured.
Right.
But we can look at a player who had a three-year track record of injury and go, okay, now he's touching the ball 20 times a game.
Or a Philly team that might realize, oh, we're in it to win the Super Bowl, not these last games of the season.
That was my other point on this.
Exactly. I'm glad I jumped in to steal it.
That's fine. The Eagles are 9-1, so at some point they might start playoff planning and want to keep Swift healthy. So there's two different scenarios where Kenneth Gainwell can end up being a meaningful participant in the for your team.
Yeah, fantasy managers who are relying on Eagles, we want them to lose at least one game because if they win out, they're sitting.
So I think Dallas is so close though, right? And Dallas playing great ball right now.
8-3, but they still need the Eagles to lose a game, which they could this week. What a great segue. I'll kick it to Charge.
That's really good. Yeah. It's Bills versus Eagles, Scott. Let's go to you for this game.
Yeah.
Let's start. I want to start Bills side of this.
Okay, sure.
Josh Allen, yeah. A lot of inconsistent performances, but from a fantasy standpoint, yeah. It's all been good for
us. Yeah, it doesn't matter from a fantasy standpoint. In fact, he's got multiple scores in 10 straight. In fact, he's got multiple scores in 13 of the last 14 games dating back to last year, so he's always getting those for you.
Yes.
The Eagles have allowed multiple scores to passers in 3 straight, and they allow the 3rd most touchdowns, 6th most passing yards. It's an A grade for Josh Allen. I really didn't need to go over all of that. Stephon Diggs is going to get an A grade. He's although Kincaid has been outproducing Diggs since Knox went down,
right?
He's still Diggs, and this Eagles defense is allowing the most receptions, 5th most yards, 2nd most touchdowns to wide receiver, which is a little surprising because they got Bradbury and Slay on the outsides there, but they're allowing the part of it is game scripts are forcing teams to pass to catch up to the Eagles when they get ahead. So that's a lot. That's a big part of that. But I do have an A grade on Diggs. I have Gabe Davis on the bench, despite I believe Joe Brady's the OC there now for the Bills.
Yes.
Yes. He said something like Gabe Davis, who didn't have a catch, had the best game of the wide receivers last week doing the blocking he did and the run game and all that stuff.
That's sweet. That does not help us.
I know. Bench grade on Gabe Davis. 2 goose eggs in the last 3 weeks. I just can't trust that. Khalil Shakir, I actually have a C grade on. Eagles, 4th worst against the slot. He's outproduced Gabriel Davis since Knox went out, and they started playing more 11 personnel, putting Shakir in the slot. He also gets to avoid Bradbury and Slay and stay inside. And of course, they're bad against the slot. So A grade, Dalton Kincaid, 3rd among tight ends in separation. Dawson Knox went down. Kincaid outproduced Diggs since. I've mentioned all of that, but 3 straight tight ends have scored on the Eagles. Travis Kelce, Jake Ferguson, Logan Thomas. They've allowed 6 tight end touchdowns in the last 10 games. And in those last 3 games, each lead tight end top 16 PPR points. I got an A grade there. James Cook. This is where it gets a little tougher. I have a C grade on James Cook. His rushing yards over expectation is one of the tops in the league, but the Eagles allow the fewest combo yards, touchdowns, and fewest touches to backs because teams try to pass on them. Cook does have 100-plus total yards in back-to-back games. He's finally seen a little bit more goal line work. We saw the 5-yard touchdown reception last week.
Yeah.
But what does worry me, it's a tough matchup, and Ty Johnson started playing ahead of Latavius Murray last week and he caught 4 balls.
Yeah, how about that?
If he starts taking those and Latavius and Cook even split the goal line work, that's a rough spot for James Cook. I'm only giving him the C, hoping he gets 12 to 15 touches, maybe a couple catches. Yeah, it's going to be pretty much a volume C for James Cook in this one. It'd be much different if Ty Montgomery didn't jump in for catches.
Ugh.
Yeah. Over on the Philly side, I have A grades on Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown. I don't really know how much I have to talk about it, but in the last 9 games, Jalen Hurts has multiple scores 9 times.
9 times, you say.
He just keeps doing it.
Yeah.
A.J. Brown, he does not get L'Jarius Sneed this week.
That helps a ton.
So he should go back closer to the 100-plus and a touchdown streak of 5 games he had before that. Devonta Smith, I'm only giving him a C grade here. He's going to get Rasul Douglas, who's been really stingy since he came to Buffalo. Since he came to Buffalo, he's allowing a 13.8 passer rating against. That's really good since he switched teams. 3 straight A-level days for Devonta Smith, but I don't love the matchup. Middle of pack there. I'm giving him a C. DeAndre Swift, B grade. Bills allowing the 3rd most targets, 5th most receptions, 3rd most receiving yards, 6th most yards per reception to running backs. They don't do well against pass-catching running backs, and that is something DeAndre Swift can do pretty well. Over the last 2 weeks, Javonte Williams had his best pass-catching day against them. Last week, Breece Hall had a great pass-catching day against them. Swift himself has handled over 75% of the touches in the last 3 games, over the last 3 games, each game. We just kind of talked about that. He's getting all that work. Maybe it tones down, but I don't think it tones down just yet. So B grade on DeAndre Swift.
Makes sense. Let's go to the Monday Nighter, Bears-Vikings. These teams were so bad against the run last year. Bears ranked 31st, Vikings ranked 26th against the run. Get this, over the last 5 weeks, which is a pretty big sample size in the NFL, the Vikings and Bears rank number 1 and number 2 in run defense. That's an amazing turnaround.
Yeah,
amazing turnaround.
It really is.
Let's start with the Chicago side. Let's go with, since we're talking about the running game, they're all on the bench. Unless If you may not know Sunday when you need to set your lineup. If Donta Foreman's ruled out, then Khalil Herbert moves up to a C grade. But if he goes, then we've got just split backfield, yeah. And we can't do it. Herbert got the majority of the work last week, in part because Foreman got knocked out of the game, but then he did nothing. He only had 2 yards per carry. Over the last five games, Minnesota allowing just 53 rushing yards per game, and non-DeAndre Swift runners are averaging 3.1 yards per carry against Minnesota. It's virtually nothing.
That DeAndre Swift game was way beginning of the season.
It was. That was week 2. Let's go to the passing game. Justin Fields, B grade. It's, this guy right here. In his first game off that month layoff, he got dialed up for 14 runs, 104 rushing yards. We love that. If that rushing, even close to that, is going to keep happening, I don't even care if he passes. Doesn't he? You can just go back there and run the whole time. He faced Minnesota for about one half of week 6, uh-huh. And he had already rolled up 48 rushing yards. So you extrapolate that, and that would be 96. So on a full game, we'll take it. Vikings are an above-average pass defense, allowing exactly one touchdown pass per game over the last 6 weeks. Sounds about right for Justin Fields. One touchdown pass and a bunch of rushing yardage, B grade for Justin Fields, leaning towards A grade. DJ Moore. Again, Vikings may be without their starting cornerback at Caleb Evans, but don't know. It's a Monday nighter. You'll want to, try to watch that if you can. But I think either way, you're going to start DJ Moore because he's so much more fantasy viable with Justin Fields than he was with Tyson Bagent. Minnesota leans zone heavy, and DJ Moore leads all Bears wideouts in targets and receptions against zone coverage. And he's 10th overall in the league against the zone. If Evans misses, I could see moving up to an A grade because that puts Mekhi Blackmon on the field. And in that situation last week, Blackmon allowed receptions on all 6 of his targets. I'd move him up to an A grade. You may not know in time before about whether or not Evans is in or out, though, on Sunday. All right, let's talk about Cole Kmet, the only other player for the Bears you probably care about. Much better in the Tyson Bagent games. Almost exactly half of the stats in field starts. So that's the bad news. He's averaging just 4 catches, 37 yards in the field starts. But good tight ends have fared well against Minnesota. But do you guys think Cole Kmet a good tight end?
Edge of top 12. He's probably 12 to 14 range, 10 to 14 range.
He has his
moments. Fine.
Yeah. Like top 6 tight ends have done well against Minnesota, and the rest really haven't. Yeah. I've got a C grade on Cole Kmet. Let's go to the Vikings side. TJ Hockenson, a little less used last week, likely because he continues to play through a serious rib injury. And I worry a bit that he'll be less used this week, too, with the bye week coming. Maybe they just rest him up here. Countering that concern, Josh Dobbs averaging 11 targets to his tight end per game since coming to Minnesota, most of that going to Hockenson. Bears defense has seen the 9th most targets to tight ends, 6th most receptions to tight ends, and a total of 5 touchdowns of the position. So, A grade. TJ Hockenson.
Yeah.
I feel pretty confident about him.
Yeah.
Feel pretty confident Justin Jefferson's not going to play in this game. They're going to have him get right for through the bye week next week. Jordan Addison hasn't topped 5 receptions or scored in the Josh Dobbs era. Over the last 5 weeks, Chicago's allowed the 4th fewest yards to opposing wide receivers, and that's thanks mostly to emerging star cornerback Jalen Johnson, who basically just shuts down half the field. Over the last 5 weeks, he's allowing 2 receptions for 13 yards in his coverage. That is it. So it is a tough matchup for Jordan Addison. I can only get you to a C grade on him. And that brings us to this guy.
Bobby Free.
Josh Dobbs. The Broncos exposed some of Dobbs' passing weaknesses last week. And if you had to rely entirely on his arm, I'd give Dobbs a C or a bench grade against an improving Chicago secondary. But fortunately, he can run. The Bears held Kirk Cousins to just 181 yards and 1 touchdown in the earlier matchup. And Cousins is obviously a lot better passer than Josh Dobbs. But Dobbs has scored rushing touchdowns in 5 straight games. And he's averaging 44 rushing yards in Vikings games. And the Bears haven't seen any mobile quarterbacks yet and haven't allowed a quarterback rushing touchdown this season. So Dobbs comes in with a B grade, thanks mostly to the legs. I think he gets like 1 passing touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he runs for a touchdown and 1 passing touchdown, yeah, we'll take that. What about the running game for the Vikings? Huh, what a frustrating experience this has been. Got plenty of things wrong this year. The one thing we got right, Alexander Mattison. No rushing touchdowns and -5 yards on runs originating from inside the 10-yard line. frustrating. A lot of it's been bad blocking, but that's just the reality of it. Apparently, he can fumble an unlimited number of times without losing his starter status to Ty Chandler. Madison has rushed for the third worst yards over expectation at negative 80 yards this year.
So I saw you tweet that stat, and then someone accused you of cherry-picking those stats by cherry-picking highlights of bad blocking, but there were highlights that he omitted that were bad vision from Alexander Madison, so it was a never-ending cherry-picking festival of whatever. He's been bad. He's been awful.
And as I mentioned at the outset of this matchup, over the past five games, Chicago ranks number one in rushing yards allowed, just 52 per game. So the entire Minnesota running game is on the bench. I would love to see Ty Chandler get a bunch of work, but apparently that's just not going to happen in my lifetime. He says bitterly. We've got a couple of minutes before the end of the show. I was thinking about this earlier this week. First round running backs next year. We saw the running back this past draft cycle. We saw running backs fall out of the first round more than ever before. Yeah. And only Christian McCaffrey, of those that were drafted in the first round last year, only Christian McCaffrey has lived up to his draft status.
Yeah.
If you look ahead to next year, other than Christian McCaffrey, which running backs are going to go in the first round?
I thought you were going to phrase it by which one, if there's one other one, which one it would be.
Well, find another one.
As of right now, not Bijan Robinson, but if he closes as a bell cow,
what if
possibly
Arthur Smith gets fired?
Or if Arthur Smith gets fired. But two other guys that I think could jump in, and they're both coming off major knee injury this year and getting a lot more work than I thought, are Breece Hall and Javonte Williams. I think they close strong.
First
we could see them.
First rounders, though?
Yeah,
maybe?
I think so, yeah.
I think the other two candidates are Travis Etienne and potentially Jahmyr Gibbs. But probably
Gibbs
not.
I think the problem on Gibbs is always going to be not touchdowns. He's not going to get the ball at the goal line. And that's not changing. I think so many people got. I think just finally the world has figured out. Do the opposite. They're gonna.
That was me saying these are the only ones I can
could think of. Yeah,
maybe Jonathan Taylor if he really just is bell cowish at the end of the season again.
If he goes electric down the stretch, I can see that.
Yeah.
But that's probably what it would take. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you missed any part of the show and you want to figure out who to bench, who to start, all my player rankings available for free at guillotineleagues.com or on the Guillotine Leagues app for those of you that have got that going. And also, if you're listening to this over the air, know that it's a podcast, Fantasy Football Weekly. You can subscribe to that. And if you're listening to the podcast, know it's over the air in many cities around the country, Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Dallas, among them. We encourage you to check that out as well. Best of luck in Week 12. Talk to you next week, everybody.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.